A few years ago, a couple of friends and I who were studying at Cambridge, after realizing a round-trip flight to Italy cost less than $100, decided to go to Italy for a long weekend. My academic tutor, upon hearing of our plans, told us there was one place we had to visit, Ostia Antica, the harbor city of ancient Rome. Originally located at the mouth of the Tiber River before becoming silted up, Ostia was Rome's seaport. It is a large archaeological site with miles of ancient Roman roads that you can still walk on, buildings with amazingly clear frescoes, and beautiful mosaics one can literally touch, with the earliest remains dated to the 4th century BCE. Paraphrasing Paul's words from our reading from Acts this morning, walking through Ostia, in addition to the many other amazing remains, one could see the idols of their worship in temple after temple. The people of Ostia must have been extremely religious, for they worshiped many, many gods. There were many images formed by the art and imagination of mortals, all dedicated to one god or another. One can walk through the remains of the earliest Jewish synagogue yet identified in Europe from about 50 CE. There is an underground Mithraeum, the temple of the seven spheres or seven gates through which a human soul must pass from the mystery religion of Mithra, commonly practiced throughout the Roman Empire. Quattro tempietti, or the four small temples, are dedicated to four cults: to the goddess Venus, the goddess Fortuna, Ceres, the protectress of the drain industry, and Spes, the goddess of hope. Originally, it must have looked like four row houses with four columns in front of each temple. One can walk up the steps to the temple of the Roman god of 12 gods, the god of thunder and lightning, the dominant god worshipped by the Romans, Jupiter. Another temple is that of Hercules. One walks up 8 steps through a facade of 6 columns to an interior floor paved with black and white mosaics. There are several bas-relief sculptures of Hercules that flank the walls of this temple, and it must originally have been stunning. The last temple built in Ostia was the Round Temple, with marble columns and niches for idols, a fountain, and even a Roman bath in the lower level. It's built 11 steps up from the street and was dedicated to all official Roman gods, or the deified Roman emperors like Hadrian and Titus, Marcus Aurelius, and Trajan. No matter the need, you could find a temple filled with idols and inscriptions to a god that could meet that need. And in the city of Ostia, there could well have been over 100 temples in the city. One could say the Ostians and the Greek Athenians loved learning, and they would leave no stone unturned in the pursuit of faith and religion. You can tell they were, like us, spiritually restless, searching for meaning in their lives. One day, around the same time as the heyday of Ostia, Paul the Apostle gets invited to Athens to speak to the Athenian elites. He does so standing on the steps of the Areopagus, or in Greek, Areopagos, Ares Rock, another god, where something like the Roman Senate would gather. Reminiscent of the temples of Ostia, adjacent to the Areopagus was a temple to an unknown god. Athenians would worship this god, which wasn't so much a specific deity, but kind of like a placeholder for a god that existed, but whose name and nature the people did not know. It's almost as if, in addition to the hundreds of gods they already worshiped, they wanted to make sure they didn't miss anyone. It's almost as if, even though they had all these beautiful frescoes and mosaics and marble altars and idols, all these gods and goddesses, they still found themselves restlessly seeking meaning. So what does Paul do when he speaks to these restless Athenians? Well, first of all, what Paul doesn't do is tear down their need for their temples and the gods they worshiped there. Instead, Paul tells them, this unknown God, the God that you have searched and searched for, but whom you cannot name, I know this God. I personally know this God. My God that made the world and all that is in it, who is the ground of all our being, the one that sustains heaven and earth, I know this God. My God doesn't need a fancy temple with amazingly clear frescoes and beautiful mosaics lining the walls and covering the floors. My God doesn't live in a temple made by human hands. My God, who has given breath to each and every one of you, who knows you personally, who is in fact not very far from you, I know this God. That rest that you seek, you can find it in him. For in him we live and move and have our being. Paul says, in effect, the search is over for me. I have found my home in him. All of which got me thinking about St. Augustine. 1,600 years before my friends and I visited, St. Augustine walked the streets of the ancient city of Ostia. And we know this because his devoutly Christian mother, Monica, who will be sainted and of whom the city in California is named after, Santa Monica, lived, died, and was buried in Ostia. Augustine personally knew of the spiritual restlessness a many-templed city represents. Augustine once wrote, "You have made us for yourself, and our heart is restless until it rests in you." Now, Augustine was, like Paul and like most of us here today, a complex man whose life was one of paradox. He was a thief and a hedonist, and is quoted as saying, "Grant me chastity and continence, but not yet." Obviously, he was a funny guy, too. Augustine struggled with sin and confession, guilt and renewal, disbelief and faith, paganism and Christianity. And as Episcopalians, I think we can learn a lot about searching and walking with Jesus from Augustine and from Paul. In the words of Randall Mixon in Feasting on the Word, Paul's witness was respectful of the view of others, demonstrating insight into and understanding other faiths. At the same time, he insisted on sharing the truth as he had come to know it through his own experiences. In other words, he was witnessing to others about his faith there on the steps of the Areopagus. Like the Ostians and the Athenians, we don't have to worship the idols of the world, our stuff, or military power, or sex, or success. We can find rest in the knowledge that you and I have been formed in the art and imagination of God. We can live and move and find our very being in Jesus. So like Paul and Augustine, may we be bold in our witness to God's response in our lives, sharing the stories of our truth with others. And may all God's people say, amen.